is familiar to all of you. The first thing that jumps out at me at this story is that this is the first miracle in the Gospel of John. It's not any healing of someone who was blind or someone that couldn't walk or even raising someone from the dead. The very first miracle in the Gospel of John is turning a whole bunch of water into the very, very best wine you could possibly imagine. What does it tell me? It tells me that Jesus loves a party. God is a God who invented celebration and he takes joy and delight when we celebrate. You only have to look back in the Bible and you see that God gave the Israelites a whole bunch of feasts and festivals, rhythms of celebration to remind themselves about who God is and what he had done. He wanted the Jewish people to celebrate who he was and what he had done for them. Our God is a God who loves celebration. You remember David when he was dancing virtually naked before the Ark of the Covenant as it arrived into Jerusalem. He was celebrating the truth about who God is, how he had rescued his people, and how he was present here now, represented by the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. He was celebrating God's goodness. When the story we've just heard at the wedding at Cana, people were celebrating and having fun. They were drinking. They were celebrating two becoming one. Did you notice the song lyric there? What about in Luke 15, when the people that were the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost child, the lost son, all of them, when they were found, they were then celebrated with their neighbours. In the parable of the lost son, of course, there was a great party as they celebrated together. And of course, we know that heaven is represented as a great party, a banquet, a celebration in lots of the parables that Jesus tells. Our God is a God who loves to party and loves to celebrate. So this parable that we see happening, this miracle we heard about this morning, the wedding in Cana. It was the bridegroom's duty to put on a party that would never be forgotten. When there was a wedding in Jewish times, everybody in the local village was invited to come along. And it wasn't just for a couple of hours after a ceremony. A wedding feast, a wedding celebration would go on for about a week. Everyone in the village was invited. And it was the bridegroom's family's duty to put on a party that no one would ever forget. You know, it's even recorded that there are times when a bridegroom's family had been sued for not putting on a good party by some of the people that came along. This wasn't good enough. The food wasn't good enough. There wasn't enough good wine. So we're going to sue the bridegroom. That's how seriously the Jewish people took putting on a celebration and a party. So here we've got a wedding feast taking place. There are more people that have turned up. And so the wine is running low. Why is that such a big deal? Well, you see, the rabbis had a saying that said, without wine, there is no joy. Without wine, there is no joy. Wine is a symbol for joy. And so whenever you see or hear about wine or grapes, it's reminding you of the fact that there's joy. And so when the wine runs out at a wedding feast, it's a big deal. Apart from the fact that the bridegroom's family might get sued because there's not enough wine going around, it's also representing joy. And if there's no wine at a wedding feast, there's going to be no joy in the marriage. That's all pretty bad news. So it's a pretty difficult place for the family to be in, which is why Jesus' mum steps in and says, it's all right, I know a man who can sort this. So she goes to have a quiet word with Jesus and said, Will you sort the problem out here? Without wine, there is no joy. We should be reminded here that, of course, it was understood that people wouldn't be going out and getting horrendously drunk. So although that they loved a glass of wine, it wasn't that they were going to go out and all have way too much to drink. But the point here is that without wine, there is no joy. This miracle reveals to us that Jesus is the bringer of joy. Because when the wine ran out, he simply turned the water into wine. And so there was more than enough to go round. Jesus provided the wine. Jesus brought the joy to the wedding feast and to the celebration. I wonder how many of you here today are feeling like you're empty of joy. You're running low on joy. Maybe you can think of a situation where there appears to be no joy. Maybe a relationship or a person that you're aware of where there seems that there is no joy. The miracle here tells us that Jesus is the bringer of joy to the places that are empty. Where the places where the wine has run out, Jesus will bring more and will bring an abundance, more than we can possibly imagine. I think that this rhythm of celebration is about practicing, reminding ourselves about the goodness of who God is. He's the bringer of joy. And so whether we're in a situation where our circumstances are causing us to feel unhappy or sad or challenged or unsettled, we can still experience joy because Jesus is the bringer of joy. And when we celebrate who Jesus is, we're reminding ourselves about the truth about who he is and what he has done for us. And so therefore we can then rejoice and we can celebrate even in the places of sadness and despair and loneliness and when things are not going well, because we're reminded about the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. He is the one that can bring joy. So we celebrate. Practicing this rhythm of celebration is a choice to set our hearts and to choose joy, even in difficult circumstances. Celebration is a way of responding in thanksgiving for the good gifts that we have around us. It's reminding ourselves about the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done for us in order that we can choose to celebrate and rejoice. Celebration is a way in which we kind of join in with the very nature of who God is. He is a God who chooses to celebrate and to rejoice. Celebration is a choice in spite of often of our circumstances or maybe even our feelings. There is goodness around us. There is goodness in our life. And celebration is the choice, the rhythm of noticing where those good things are and choosing to celebrate and give thanks for them. The greatest celebration is when we gather around the table and we share bread and wine. And we're reminded about the truth about who Jesus is, what he did for us on the cross, in order that we can rejoice because of Jesus and what he's done, because he is the one that will bring us joy. I want to leave by just asking you to think about this rhythm, this practice of celebration, and how you might practice celebrating just normal, everyday events. So the practice of celebrating grace before or after a meal is really simple, but it's a way of saying thank you, God, for your provision for this food that we are about to eat. You're reminding yourself that God is our provider. You're thanking him for it, and you're celebrating by enjoying the meal that is set before you. What other ways can you celebrate the everyday events of life where you can practice this rhythm of celebration? Who in your life is bringing you joy at the moment? Is there a way that you can celebrate them this week? A card, a note, an invitation for coffee, dropping some flowers round on their doorstep. For what are you thankful for right now, today? Is there a way that you can engage in celebration over it? A party for a simple life event. Passing a driving test. Doing well in some exams, being chosen for a school music team or football team. having a spur of the moment dance party with the kids in the kitchen while you're cooking dinner. That won't be me. Enjoying a walk outside, and it's not that I don't do the cooking, it's just that I can't dance. That's what I was trying to say. Enjoying being outside, walking in God's creation, savouring that, taking joy in that, and celebrating God's goodness. Having a steaming hot cup of chocolate. What are the ways that you can practice simple, everyday acts of celebration that remind you about the truth about who God is and what he has done for you? Jesus is the bringer of joy. Shall we pray together? Oh, actually, I've got a memory verse. I have got a memory verse. This is the memory verse I want you to remember, clearly. So we're going to practice saying it together. Say all together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Okay, let's say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Can you blank the screen, please, Heather? Thank you. Okay, let's say it again. Rejoice. That's what this practice of celebration is all about. Rejoicing in who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you are a God who loves to celebrate and to party. And thank you that when we join in with that, we are celebrating who you are and your goodness. We are reminding ourselves about the truth about who you are and what you are like. Lord God, I pray that you would prompt us to find ways to celebrate this week. Amen.